The first reading comes from Isaiah chapter 61. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. For Zion's sake I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until her vindication shines out like the dawn, and her salvation like a burning torch. The nations shall see your vindication, and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. Word of God, word of life. Galatians chapter 4. When the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then also an heir, through God, word of life. Please rise for the gospel acclamation.
Our gospel reading this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, the second chapter. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came to the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Master, you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, this child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There also was a prophet Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. When Pastor Heather first asked me if I would preach today, I said, only if I can wear a lot of sequins, because it's New Year's Eve. And I believe her words were, you can wear whatever you want, because I'm going to be on vacation. So, Pastor Heather, if you're watching, I'm not wearing sequins today. But hello. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. It's a weird time in the church where, like, we just had Christmas. Today is the first Sunday of Christmas. And then all of a sudden, all of this comes down, and we're into Epiphany next year. It's a very short Christmas season. But let's talk about this gospel reading, shall we? It's not one that we hear very often because I feel like a lot of people skip the Sunday after Christmas. So kudos to you all for being here, an extra 10 Jesus points for all of you. So this story is very beautiful and has some good things in it. Our gospel reading this morning finds us about 40 days after Jesus' birth. We are here at Mary and Joseph's purification and the presentation of Jesus. And if you're anything like me, you heard the word purification and thought, huh, I wonder what that means. And then, if you're anything like me, you listen to the fancy preacher podcast that Pastor Heather tells you to listen to, and you go and read Leviticus 12, all about purification, and you do some learning. That's what I did. So, Leviticus 12 explains the process of purification for Jewish women after childbirth, and here's a speed explanation for you from Leviticus. I'm sure Pastor Heather would love to talk more in depth with you about this. So after women gave birth to a male child, she was considered ceremonially unclean for 7 days. She had to limit social contact. She couldn't touch anything holy. Let me clarify that unholy does not mean that she has done anything bad or that she has sinned. Mary has not done anything bad. She's just following these Jewish rituals. So she's considered unclean for 7 days while the wonderfulness of post-childbirth runs its course. And then another 33 days, she can contaminate anything holy. So she can't touch anything holy. She can't come to the temple for 33 days. When the 40 days of her purification are over, she comes to the temple with a lamb for a burnt offering, and then a pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering. There's a blessing, a ritual. She is made clean again by this Jewish ritual. There's also a purification ritual for Joseph. Guess how long that lasts? A day. Insert the eye roll there. Okay. But if you remember, in our reading, Mary does not bring a sheep. She brings 2 turtle doves for her offering. Why is this important, Kelsey, you might be asking? Because also in Leviticus, it mentions that if one cannot afford to bring a sheep, they're allowed to bring 2 turtle doves or pigeons instead, which is what Mary did. So, after all that, here already in the first 7 words of this gospel reading, looking back at some context and doing some reading in Leviticus, we learn a lot. We learn something really important about who Jesus is. Jesus was born into the economic margins of society. Because Mary brought those 2 turtle doves, we know that they were a poor family who could not afford a sheep for this purification ritual. This is who Jesus was, a Jewish child born to Mary and Joseph, a family on the outskirts of society. Jesus was not born into wealth and high society like the kids so wonderfully told you last Sunday. Jesus was born in a stable, laid in a feeding trough to a low-income Jewish family. This really has nothing to do with today's sermon, but it's important for us to know as we move forward in the next few weeks and months of Epiphany looking at Jesus' ministry. But now here we are at Mary and Joseph's purification, now we know what that means, and the presentation of Jesus, another Jewish law. The firstborn male shall be called holy and set apart. It's here at this presentation of Jesus at the temple where we are introduced to Simeon. Simeon, who is of an older generation, tells us that he has been waiting a long, long time for the consolation of Israel, for someone to comfort Israel. We are told that the Holy Spirit revealed to Simeon that he would not die until he had seen the Messiah. So he has been waiting and waiting and waiting. The Spirit leads Simeon to the temple that day, and in walks Mary with 40-day-old baby Jesus. Simeon recognizes Jesus amidst the bustle of the temple, takes that baby in his arms, and praises God. Overcome with peace and fulfillment, Simeon talks about the freedom that Jesus will bring. "My eyes have seen your salvation, God." Simeon can literally die now that he has met Jesus, the Messiah. Simeon is set free by this child being born. But that is not all he has to say. He goes on to talk about how this child will be the rise and the fall of many, how this child will be opposed by many, and then, this kind of cracked me up, has the audacity to say to Mary, who's a brand new mom, "And a sword will pierce your own soul too." More on that in a little bit. But then we meet the prophet Anna. Oh, Anna. Like Simeon, she's old and she is a devout Jewish woman. She never leaves the temple. She worships and prays day and night. And on this day, she meets the baby Jesus. She has much fewer words than Simeon, but we are told that she praises God for this child and, like the shepherds, tells everyone who will listen about this child who will bring comfort and peace and freedom. Now back to Simeon and the whole piercing Mary's soul thing. He has been waiting for God's promise to be fulfilled. And here on this day, he holds Jesus in his arms and rejoices. God has kept God's promise, and freedom and salvation have come in the form of this Christ child. But Simeon is also realistic, letting us know that while he is full of joy and peace because Jesus is here now, things are not always going to be hunky-dory. This peace that Simeon is experiencing as he holds Jesus comes from knowing that this child in his arms will grow up to disturb systems that oppress people. This child will break barriers. For so long, Simeon has been waiting for someone who will bring freedom. The peace that Simeon feels comes from knowing that this child will resist and challenge the hurtful power of the Roman Empire, and that he will bring comfort to those who are being hurt. Simeon lets Mary know that this child will do wonderful, great things, but also to be prepared for the not-so-good things. People will challenge him. It won't be easy, and sometimes it will even hurt. Hence, a sword will pierce your own heart too. Simeon gives us a glimpse of what is to come. Like I told the kids on Christmas Eve, I love to read these stories and imagine myself there. What would it be like? What would it feel like to be in the temple that day? Putting myself in Simeon and Anna's shoes, I imagine the joy and the excitement and that deep breath feeling that they must have felt as they met Emmanuel, God with us. They are old and they are tired, and they have been waiting for this moment, waiting for salvation and for wholeness, waiting for God to show up. And here God is in human form, literally right there with them in their arms in that moment. What joy, what excitement, and what relief. So what does this story mean for us today? Here we are at the end of another year, ready to start a new one. Some of us might be thinking about New Year's resolutions and how we can be a better version of ourselves next year. Some of us are not ready to move into 2024 quite yet, while others are more than happy to let 2023 go and look forward to what's ahead. Some of us are in that weird period of time where we're not sure what day it is, and it's a great thing if we brush our teeth by like 4. Not speaking from experience. Wherever you are on that spectrum, my question for you today is, what happens next? Christmas is here. Jesus is born. Freedom, wholeness, salvation, and love have come to us. Christmas brings with it the promise fulfilled that God is here with us. We have met God in this miracle of Jesus being born. What do we do with that? What happens next? Simeon's whole entire life was fulfilled by meeting Jesus. He can now die in peace. Anna praised God and shared the good news with anyone who would listen. What would it look like for our lives to be fulfilled by meeting Jesus, by knowing that God is with us? What would it be like to be so overwhelmed with joy and excitement that we just had to share with everyone who Jesus is? These are things that this story is calling us to think about. Simon's life was fulfilled, and Anna invites us to respond. I want to share a poem with you that I share almost every year on social media, so I apologize that if you've seen it already. It's by Howard Thurman, who is an author, a philosopher, a theologian, and a civil rights activist. I think this poem is an excellent way to get our wheels turning when we think about what happens next now that we have met Jesus. The poem is titled The Work of Christmas by Howard Thurman. When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flocks, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among the people, to make music in the heart. Like Simeon and like Anna, we have been waiting. And now on this first Sunday of Christmas, we wait no more. Jesus is born, God in human flesh. My prayer for all of us is that we would be so filled and so overjoyed by meeting the Christ child that we respond in great, great love, by mending what's broken, rebuilding all that we have destroyed, by feeding and caring for those in need, welcoming the stranger and including the outcast, by being peacemakers throughout all of the world, and making joyful music in our hearts so that all might know that God is with us in Jesus. Knowing that we will meet opposition, knowing that it will not always be easy, but also knowing and trusting that God is with us. Let the work of Christmas begin. Amen.